thank you for gathering us this morning.
Amen.
We all come to you.
Amen.
Thank you for the fresh cleansing of your precious blood.
Amen.
We're just here sitting at your feet.
Amen.
All wanting to listen to your word.
Amen.
We open to you afresh, Lord.
Amen.
We open to you.
Amen.
We open to this fellowship.
Amen.
We open this time together.
Amen.
We give so many children to the church.
Yes.
Oh Lord Jesus, we give our thanks to you.
Amen.
Just through this fellowship today, you take us on.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for your precious blood.
Amen.
Thank you. We can come to you in a fresh way.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
Seeking your face.
Amen.
Lord, we open to you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. We open to you, Lord.
Amen.
We open for this time of fellowship.
Amen.
Anoint each one of us with your precious blood.
Amen.
Oh, give us listening ears.
Amen.
Open spirit.
Amen.
Open sky.
Amen.
We'd like to receive from you this morning.
Amen.
Dispensing.
Amen.
For the sake of your church.
Amen.
Speak to us today.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Speak to us this morning.
Amen.
We open our being life to you.
Amen.
We say, Lord, flow freely among us.
Amen.
Oh, grant us the true fellowship.
Amen.
With you and with one another.
Amen.
So that our being will be fully open to your flowing.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you this morning.
Amen.
Speak in your church.
Amen.
Thank you. praise you this morning.
Amen.
Your love has laid hold of us.
Amen.
Thank you, you've saved us.
Amen.
You cleansed us.
Amen.
You filled us.
Amen.
We could be your channels.
Amen.
Even to our children.
Amen.
In every hour and in every place.
Amen.
We pray you would flow through us.
Amen.
Amen.
Great source.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we just want to be your channel.
Amen.
Fill us, Lord.
Yes.
Blow out, Lord.
Blow out, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You are the source.
Yes.
Amen.
We want to be empty that you
yes.
can fill us.
Yes.
Amen.
This vessel is your hand.
Amen.
Open to you.
Right.
Join our fellowship this
yes.
morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
There's room for one brother in the front row. Anybody move?
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hard to say no.
The brothers have prepared, or Brother Benjamin have prepared this outline, fellowship with the parents. I'm not going to speak from this. I'm going to let the brothers speak on it.
Amen.
Later. But I want to tell you some of my impressions for this time. Last time, when I met with you, I spoke on aspired to inspire. I don't know how many were here. And I don't know how many of you... what was your impression? I mean, aspired to inspire. Of course, at that time, I told you what I meant is, I feel for the children to be benefited in the children's meetings in the church. The parents need to be aspired to inspire their children.
Amen.
And the serving ones need to be aspired to inspire. Now, since I fellowship with you that time, I don't think I quite realized the significance of what I shared at that time. And since that time, a number of things happened to me, and physically, and I didn't have the impression last time was my last lesson with you. But today I have more stronger sense. This is maybe my last lesson with you. But I feel that what I want to continue from what I shared last time, aspire to inspire, that is, I want to ask you to answer this question. You don't need to answer to me, you don't need to answer here, but answer to yourself. What is your aspiration for your children? Okay. Now, what I mean is this, is that what is your aspiration? It's not what, please notice what I said. What are you aspired for your children? Not only in the children's meeting, not only in their Christian life, but for their whole life. What do you aspire them to be? Okay, now I think the children's meeting is the beginning, and that is extremely important. You know, this is my 55th year here, and during those 55 years, I have seen, of course, many children have gone through here. I've seen many families, and many really meant very well to cooperate in the children's meeting. My dear Anna devoted her life for the children's service, and we were always concerned for our next generation. And I feel that the parents, I mean, all these years what we share with you, all the parents are having certain idea what I like to get out of the children's meeting for my children. But I want to use a higher or bigger word. What are you aspired for your children? Now, so when I thought about this, I thought I should maybe explain a little bit about what I meant last time, aspired to inspire. So let me use a story, okay? I'm going to tell you a story first. Many years ago, I read about the life of D.L. Moody. You know, Moody was a servant of God, a dear brother, greatly used by the Lord at the near the end of this 19th century, very much used in this country and also across the Atlantic in England. And D.L. Moody, I read his life story many years ago when I was a young man, but recently a brother gave me a few books to read. He knows that I'm in a state that I can spend a lot of time reading, so he gave me this book about the life of D.L. Moody, and I read it. You know, as I went through it again, but this time, as I went through it, where there's a particular incident that actually changed his life, but also I think it describes this aspire to inspire, okay? So let me use this example. And it is related to children. This is quite interesting. You know, D.L. Moody, when he was young, he became a Christian, and he wanted to serve. And when he was a young man, he was actually a very successful shoe salesman. He actually had a very bright future for his shoe sales, and he was in Chicago. But he also had the desire to serve. And when he was serving, so he started, now listen to this, it's very interesting, he started a mission Sunday school. He started a mission Sunday school and was quite successful because the number, you know, he every morning, where he started with, first he rented 4 pews. This is really interesting. This is about 130 years ago. He rented 4 seats in a church building, and every Sunday morning he would go out to the street and get some young hoodlums get there to listen. But he had to pay for those pews. But later on he said, no, I should do more, I should start early. So he started this mission Sunday school, and it was very successful because very soon it grew over 1,000 in Chicago. And in his own words, he said he was very concerned. I mean, he was mainly concerned about the number. So if the number dipped below 1,000, 1,000 is a large number, much bigger than our children's meeting. He would, if it dipped below 1,000, he would worry. Because I heard there's some talk about the combining classes, so maybe some of you are worried about the number. But he said if the number would go up to 1,200, 1,300, he would be very elated. He thought that he was successful. Now, one day, one of his teachers, one of the teachers that taught a class, and was sick. So he asked Moody, I mean, Moody runs the whole thing, but he subbed this teacher, okay? And he realized that class was awful, It was all girls, probably teenage girls, and they were frivolous, they were unruly, and they were rebellious, and they're not paying attention. And even Moody, he sort of runs this mission Sunday school. He was there teaching. They were laughing him at his face. He was so angry, he said, I was ready to open the door, tell them, get out and never come back again. But of course, he is concerned about his numbers, so he couldn't quite do that. So he's very disappointed. So he talked to this teacher. I mean, actually, this teacher came to talk to him, asked how it was, and he said, I'm really in bad shape. So he said, why are you in bad shape? He said, you know, my health is declining, and I have hemorrhaging in my lung, okay? He said, the doctor told me my days are numbered. He is really a terminal case. He said, I couldn't stay in Chicago because the weather is too severe. The Lake Michigan weather is too strong. So he said, I must go back to New York. He's from New York, this teacher. He said, but I was so burdened for my class. Okay, this is what he said to Moody. He said, I'm afraid all these months I've taught them, I haven't done them any good. I haven't done them any good. I probably have done them more harm than good. He said, now I'm dying, I'm leaving. I feel so bad, not just because, you know, didn't do much, but because this is the end of my life, near the end of my life. So Moody suggested, so why don't you do this? Let me rent a carriage, and I'll go with you to visit them one by one, and you tell them what you just told me. You feel sorry because you didn't tell them about salvation. Okay, you just teach them a lesson, and they didn't pay any attention. They didn't pay any attention. It wasn't interesting, and so on. So this teacher said, okay. So he went with this teacher to this first girl's house and started to speak to this girl. It was no laughing, no joking, but she was serious. And he told him, I'm so sorry that all these months I didn't tell you the way of salvation. And so he preached, preached the gospel to her, and tears come to her eyes, and she accepted the Lord. And at the end, so this teacher told Moody, said, would you please pray for her so God can accept her receiving the Lord? Moody said, I never did that before. He said, you know, I used to think, you know, a successful work is get a lot of people come together, get somebody to preach to them. I never thought the salvation is so important to them. He said, so, but he prayed. And he said, you know, God answered my prayer. And then after that, they went to another girl and happened to the second girl. And so he said, but then this man, because of his health, he was exhausted, so he couldn't continue. So he went home, and then the following day they went the same. So after 10 days, they visited the whole class, and every one of them received the Lord. And so after that, Moody felt good about, this man said, well, I'm going to leave tomorrow night. I'm going to leave for on the train going back to New York. And so Moody said, why don't we ask all the classes to come to a prayer meeting? And Moody said this later himself. He said, if I had known what would happen in that prayer meeting that would change my life, I probably would never have gone. Because at that time he was a very very successful shoe salesman, and he was had a very bright future. He thought on the side he could just run this mission Sunday school. But that day they went and they prayed. Every one of them prayed. And Moody said, he said, you cannot imagine the impact in my life. I knew that I cannot continue like this anymore. So anyway, the following day when this man was leaving, Moody went to the train station, and every one of them came. And he said they couldn't sing. They could not sing. You know, the night before they were singing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, but they couldn't sing because everybody was seeing tears. And he said that man, as the train was pulling out, that man was standing on the platform at the rear card and pointing his finger to heaven, saying they're going to meet there. And Moody said that experience had completely changed his life. And from there on, he could never do the business of shoe sales again. And of course, the rest is the history. You know, he continued his mission Sunday school. He started the YMCA, and later on the Lord used him to preach to thousands. And even, you know, he went to England several times, and in that religious place, which he was not ordained, he was not a reverend, but the Spirit used him tremendously, even in Scotland. And when he died, one of the leaders in Scotland telegrammed saying, the whole Scotland mourns for him. Okay, so now, but it all started with this mission Sunday school. And what touched me was that Moody was aspired to inspire. Okay. And I believe, you know, we've been here for so many years, and we've seen so many have gone on. And but I was thinking, what do we aspire for the children's meeting? Or, well, in that sense, what do we aspire for every aspect of the service in the church, you know? And we hope the saints from the very young age, they grow up, and then they are in the children's meeting, and then in the young people's meeting, and then in college, and so on. So what do you parents, or what do you serving ones, what is your goal, you might put it that way, or what is your aspiration that you would like to see that the children would grow up to be? Okay. Now, I was thinking, you know, because I look back in our years together serving the church here. There are so many, and I know that in the beginning, of course, we say this is not a babysitting service. This is to teach them some Bible. I mean, this is all true, and we hope that the children will not be easily influenced by the world, and so they can be preserved later on. And we hope that at the accountable age, they can receive the Lord, and that they can grow. Is that the aspiration? Is that the only aspiration? Or you hope that they will grow up properly, will not run wild, and then hopefully they go to a good school, and then go to a good college, preferably Ivy League school. And then they study something which is practical and useful, and then get a good job, and get married, and have children, and then onward, and go on. Is that the aspiration you have for your children? And along the way, if you cannot inspire them, do you bribe them? Pardon me for using that word. Do not use bribery in place of your lack of inspiring them. And I believe the reason, I mean, to me, as I look back for my life, actually, I was telling the saints, those of you who are in that business meeting, you know, I'm actually full of hope. I say this not with a bit of hopelessness. I say so with tremendous hope. I must tell you, my hope is still true, holds true in every aspect of the church life, including the children's meeting, because I believe all the children, all the parents, and all the serving ones can be aspired to inspire. Amen. And we can have the proper aspiration for our children. And the reason is because, I mean, actually, we look at the larger picture, is because the vision of the church, that is about God's purpose, about how God created man to fulfill his purpose, is a vision that can be practiced. And that vision can be practiced starting with every family, with all the children. And as the brothers will share later on about the parents need to be the pattern, this is what it is. What pattern, what, about the behavior? Because, you know, we have heard, you know, we live in a tremendous time, because in our time things have changed so much. I know many parents, particularly new immigrant, they would like to hear that, they like to see that our children can enjoy what we didn't have the opportunity for. Right. Now, is that what is? Now, I hope that you will change that into to say that I hope all the children can experience what we are experiencing. That is, that the vision we have committed ourselves to, Amen. In whatever state. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you have to give up your job. No, this is not what I mean. But what I mean is that we believe the vision that we have given ourselves to can be practiced. Amen. And we want to use that as an example to encourage our children. Now, if that is the case, dear brothers and sisters, I think every children regardless, you know, many children, don't expect them all have high education, get a good job, and so on and so forth. No, not everybody is the same, because the endowment from God is different from everyone. But they must live a life of fulfillment based on what God has sovereignly endowed to them. And I believe if the parents have this kind of a realization and are aspired to inspire the children, then I think we are fine.
Amen.
And I must tell you, I'm full of hope. I mean, I'm really, I'm not looking at, say, you are looking at the numbers. Number doesn't mean anything. Number doesn't mean anything. The attendance, now, of course, they must have good work ethics. They must have good habits in order to live a proper human life, in order to live a proper Christian life. Yes, that is true. But on the other hand, we must see, dear brothers and sisters, there are so many children that God has given to all the parents and into the hands of all the serving ones. Mm-hmm. Every one of them can make a difference.
Amen.
And I hope you realize that. You know, I say so with a very, not a heavy heart, but I must tell you, I say so with a very uplifted heart. Even in my case, counting my last days, I wanted every day count. I want every day make a difference.
Amen.
And I think, you know, with all the children, with all the days ahead of them, and with all the opportunity that they can hear, they can learn, and what a tremendous opportunity there is. So I hope I'm just continuing my last time's fellowship, aspired to inspire. Little did I realize that was actually my last lesson. So I'm finishing my last lesson today. I hope we all have such aspiration.
Amen.
For all the parents and all the serving ones.
Amen.
For the children God has placed
Amen.
Among us.
Oh, you got another one.
Yeah. Well, so far as I know, this morning's parents are mainly the parents of the younger children. Like, I think your children are elementary school and so forth. We have another parents' fellowship. That is for the older ones. Mainly high schoolers. But I have discovered one thing. Those parents only came to the second one, in other words, they only came to this children's meeting with the older children. If they did not come to this parents' fellowship time, then it's hard for them to catch what will we share with them when their children became older. For those parents, we will encourage them to send their children to summer school of the truth and so forth. But without this fellowship, they did not have the foundation. And so they could not appreciate what we said. So that's why I feel this parents' meeting is more important than the other one. But that does not mean you should not go to the other one,
right.
But you should come to this parents' meeting first, then you can go to the other one. So this is what I'm trying to say. In other words, in this parents' meeting, really lay the foundation,
right.
What a parent should do, what is their responsibility. I especially have a very, very strong burden concerning this thing, that how all the parents need to realize that your children is your responsibility. In the past, very often, the parents will come and saying, they said, we will send our children to the church and the church will take care of them. Sounds spiritual, but that's not real. You have to remember, 1 week, has 168 hours. And even you send your children to the church for the serving ones to take care of them, the most time they can spend with your children is maybe 4 hours or even 8 hours before they go to school. So then what happened? The remaining 160 hours, they are with you. You know, we don't agree with the Roman Catholic Church. It's terrible. They even lost the most basic gospel truth. But one thing what they did is good. That is, they paid much attention to the children. They said this, you give me a child for 7 years. And after 7 years, I give back to you and you can do whatever you want. Because they realized that the first 7 years of a person is the most important times. Don't think, oh, they are young, they don't want to say anything. Wait until they grow up earlier, then we teach them. Oh, that's too late. So I hope that you all know this. The responsibility for these children are the parents' responsibility, and that they are not anyone else's responsibility. Why I have such a strong burden concerning this? Because in those years, now maybe 30 years ago, very often when a couple had a baby, and of course the wife would stay in the hospital, and the father would come to the prayer meeting, oh, praise the Lord, the Lord gave us a baby, either a boy or a girl, so we want to consecrate this baby to Christ and the church, and hope that you will pray for them, and the Lord will bless them. Okay, we did this for a number of years. But one day, we had a young brother. He was already in high school, and he borrowed a car from another brother. That brother actually was Dr. Sun. He was the dear brother. He's a doctor, and he's very, very good. And so this young brother borrowed this brother Sun's car, and he drove the car to a roadside stand. That is a small, you know, the small stand to sell. I don't remember what was the things that he sold. And then this young boy pulled out a knife and said to this person, give me $500. Then he took the dollar and he left. And then they wrote down the number of that car. And therefore, they traced this car to Dr. Sun. And then Dr. Sun called me. He said, yeah, I did rent the car to this brother. But he did not want to tell the policeman that it was his car, and the policeman definitely will got that young one. I said, you have to tell the policeman that, yeah, it's you who rent this car to that one. Because I did not believe that one would do things like this. Maybe there was some misunderstanding. Eventually, I discovered it was the young brother. That really, I don't know how to describe to you, that really troubles me very much. Right. Because I remember when he was born, that we all prayed for him and consecrated him to the Lord. And how could he do things like this after 15 years? Or 18 years later. So then, later I told all those brothers who came and to say, ask the church to bless him and consecrate him to the Lord. And later when the brothers came to say this, I would tell them, you have to consecrate yourself first. If you don't consecrate, I'm not going to pray for you. Because there's no use. Then I realized that brother's mother loved the Lord, but his father eventually became terrible. His father even gave
playboy magazine to his sins. And so then no doubt his sin became that kind of terrible young people. So therefore, we have to see that the responsibility of the children are the responsibility of the parents, because the parents is always the ones give most influence to their children. We have to really see this. And therefore, don't think they are too young. Now, whatever you say, they don't understand. But they understand. So in other words, we, even when they are very young, you need to give them the impression there's a God. God created everything. God created us. And so you have to say these things to them.
Right.
So we have to remember that young people, even though maybe they don't understand much, but they all have good memory. Now I'm 77 years old. When I look back, I still remember what those things happened, those stories I heard when I was 3 years old. And I don't remember what happened 3 weeks ago today. if I try to memorize them person, even what I ate 3 weeks ago, I don't remember. So we have to see how important the first 7 years, right. And the Catholic Church saw this. You know, many Protestant churches had many gospel conference, gospel works. But Catholic Church never had this. Have you noticed? And for instance, in the Protestant churches, you have Billy Graham. Always give big conference. The Catholic Church never had this. But yet, if you see all the reports, today's Christianity, regardless what denomination it was, it's always go down here. The numbers reducing, not increasing. Rather, the Catholic Church number is increasing. Not too much, but still, step by step, they have more increase than the other Christian groups. Why? Because they pay attention to the children. They ask the parents to bring their children to their church. And that's why the Catholic Church number is increasing, not decreasing. So we have to see that this is very important thing today. We have to learn the lesson. So first of all, our burden is we really hope that all the parents realize that how important you are to your children. And don't be a bad father like the one I mentioned. You destroy them. I don't know how to describe this, that our influence to our children is much more than we realize. So we all have to realize this. And I can see, I had two daughters, and my older daughter, Cheryl, when she was young, my wife, Phoebe, and to talk to her every night. Every night, she gave some Bible stories. She did not tell. She never told that kind of, oh, three little bear, or and Cinderella. Or she never tell them that kind of a story. And I assure to you, if you gave them this kind of story, the three bears, three little bears, Snow White, and when they were 70 years old, they remember these stories. And so a person when he was 70 or 80 years old, and all that he remembered was three little bears. How terrible that was. But my wife had the wisdom, just told them all the Bible story. Not only that, she prayed with the older daughter. And then, later, just not long ago, my wife called me from California, and my older daughter called me. My wife passed away, the Lord took her, now it's what, 7 years ago, but anyway, my older daughter called me. He said, her son, my grandson, he is 10 years old, and every night, he is still praying for me, for we brothers, and also for the relatives. He all pray every night. He pray for many of these ones he knew. And then he had a younger sister. It's 6 years old. And then this younger sister just follow her brother. She also start to pray. So don't think these are the small thing. These things is very important. So I just want to give this to all of you. And so we have to see that our influence to our children is tremendous. And so if we do not give them a good example, if we do not pray for them, and then, today I thank the Lord. My older daughter loved the Lord. We did not need to tell her go to FTTA. Spontaneously, she will go to FTTA. And then, when we had our second daughter, my wife want me to spend more time with this second daughter. She hoped that I would, just like what she did. But I was very sorry because I was very busy in my work. And I still spend time with my second daughter, but I did not tell her any Bible story. Because by that time, I myself was very tired. I was ready for bed. I wanted to sleep. But I still prayed for with her. Then you could hear my second daughter's prayer is very different from the first, the older daughter. She really prayed. But my younger daughter, she just repeated the same words every day. And then she did not have any intention to go to the FTTA at all. Now, it's at the time, the night before my wife went to be with the Lord, the whole family had the gathering together. We prayed together. We had a very sweet time together. And at that time, my wife said to my second daughter that she wanted her to go to FTTA. With the older daughter, you don't have to say this, but then this time, before my wife went to be with the Lord, she told my younger daughter she wanted her to go to FTTA. But she did not answer right away. But after a few minutes, then she will say, yes, I will go to FTTA. But that is because she wanted to comfort my wife. So eventually she did go. But she did not want to go to FTTA. She wanted to go to FTTMX because she wanted to learn Spanish. She studied still Spanish in the high school. And then she also, before their graduation, and Ricky's wife, Rebecca, brought this class, went to Puerto Rico. And then they had a good time in Puerto Rico. 1 week, I think they went out sightseeing. Another week, they had Summer School of the Truth in Spanish. So then after my wife went to be with the Lord, I did not tell anybody my wife asked my younger daughter to go to the training, and eventually she agreed. And I didn't say anything. I did not want my older daughter to mention this because I was afraid when people will put pressure on her, when will you go to the training? So then probably that will push her away. So I didn't say anything. But one day, she herself came to me. I know my second daughter, whatever she said, she would do. And so eventually she came to me. So she felt that was the time she would go to the training. But just as long as whether she could go to Mexico instead of Anaheim. So I asked the co-workers, we all feared that let her go to the one that she wanted to go. So eventually she did go there. And so she did receive some help. But anyway, I just feel very bad that I did not, when I spent the time with my younger daughter, I really did not give her too much help. And then the thing is, I had a sister who was 6 years older than I am. And at that time, it was very clear my parents liked me more than like my sister. It seems that my sister was very jealous. So every night, she told the ghost story to me. I still can remember those ghost stories. So you can see how important this is. So I really hope that all the parents here need to know how you can influence your children, amen, the next generation. And so I think I just shared this with you.
I would like to start. Oh, sorry. I would like to start from the very bottom. Because you can't climb to the top unless you're in the bottom first. So, of course, I think it goes without saying that the parents must be believers, obviously, right? How can you nurture children without being believers? But I would say that after that, there is one essential requirement for parents. And I would say as much as if you don't have it, consider before you have children. When I was learning, I didn't have to learn Spanish, but some of my friends learned Latin. But I thought that was silly. It's a dead language. Why learn it? But I picked up one phrase that, in my understanding, you don't have in any other language. I'll write it down. Of course, I'm not so good. Oh, this might help. You can't read it, is sine qua non. And sine qua non, translated literally, doesn't make any sense. None without which. But the meaning is, if you don't have this, forget it. So, any young couples expecting to have children, you need this. What is this? Love. First of all, the husband and the wife need to love one another. You might say, well, that's kind of obvious. Why do you say it's so important? I've heard so many cases of children who suffered so much because the parents were always fighting. Or if they weren't fighting, they were arguing. And so, the first thing is, you must love your spouse. If you don't love your spouse, don't get children. Oh, you're thinking, oh, wait a minute. No, but honestly, we can work on it. We can try. And we ask the Lord. We pray about it. The Lord will enable us to love our spouse. Obviously, when you got married, you loved each other. So what happened after when you knew the bad side of your spouse? So we need to remember this. Now, concerning the children's upbringing, there are two sides. And the two sides have to be balanced. One side is a human side. The other side is a spiritual side. Why do they have to be balanced? Well, let's talk about the spiritual side. I have heard children give explanations of doctrines because they heard it from their parents. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? No, it sounds terrible. Why? When they grow up, they say, oh, I know that. I've already been told about that, right? So we have to be so careful concerning the spiritual upbringing of the children. Yes, the children have to have an aspiration, and that aspiration is to love the Lord, to love the Word, to love the church. This we must work on. But you can't teach the children if you don't have it yourself, right? So you need to love the Lord, love the Word, love the church. Then there's a number of small, little, tiny, practical things. One thing Brother Benjamin mentioned about talking to the children. So what would you talk to the children? One important thing is for the children to realize how important it is to be accurate. And you know, we all talk loose sometimes. We may exaggerate. We need to correct that with our children. Oh, it wasn't 5 cows, it was 3 cows. It wasn't this, it was that. We need to be so clear about that. Then, the next thing, if we tell the children to do something, would they do it? 9 times out of 10, they don't, right? But it is so helpful to insist and make them do what you told them to do. This helps in their upbringing to make them responsible. It's such a terrible thing when children grow up being irresponsible. Then, when they grow up, they have problems all the time. So this is why it's so important. But then one other small thing, that is, whenever we have to discipline a child, we should explain why we discipline the child. I mentioned an obvious example. The child said something, and the mother caught that he was lying. Things were not so. So one thing is just to send the child to his room, period. Another thing is explain to the child, when you lie, you're actually sinning against God. Therefore, I have to discipline you. I know it takes time, it's a bother, but it's helpful to the child. Then, again, this matter of the children growing up to be responsible is helped by little things. For instance, children should learn to take care of their things. What things? Their clothes, their room, their books, etc. You know, I know of some boys who had trouble because they forget the school books. Well, they have to learn to be responsible. That on the human side. But there's one particular aspect which is the first item in this outline, which is really also a must, a sine qua non. Children are the heritage of Jehovah. And with that portion, Psalm 127:3 makes it so clear that when you receive a child, when a child is born into your family, this is from the Lord. And we take care of the child not for our own benefit, not even for his own benefit, but for the Lord's benefit. This is too crucial. We must have this realization. We have this responsibility before the Lord. And Brother Benjamin mentioned about the fact that we used to present the children to Christ and the church. But actually, when we did that, we actually prayed for the parents. Now, here in this outline, there's many aspects that the parents should be an example. Concerning the parents being an example, the children, in spite of what Benjamin said, the children may forget things. The children never forget what they see. Therefore, it's so crucial what they see their parents doing. They will end up doing the same thing. So this is really crucial, that the parents would be a proper pattern for their children. So, a life that is a pattern, this is very interesting. That is the second point in the outline. But it quotes Proverbs 23:26, which says, "Son, give me your heart." So this applies to parents also. Parents must give their heart to the Lord that they would be a pattern for the children, that they would be a help to the children. Then finally, the third point, those who have children should sanctify themselves for the sake of their children. This means refrain from doing many things which we could do for the sake of our children. John 17:19, the Lord told his disciples that actually sacrificed himself for their sake. And we have two examples. We have two examples from the Bible that I always mention. One is when the Lord met the Samaritan woman. It was in the open at midday. But when the Lord met Nicodemus, was late at night in a private home. The Lord was holy. He could have done otherwise, but he sanctified himself for the sake of the children. So this is not so easy. What we say in front of the children, what we do in front of the children affects them. So we need to be those who sanctify ourselves for the sake of the children. So I'm sorry that this gives so much burden to the parents. Amen. Honestly, if your child grows up
loving the Lord, serving in the church, could you ask for
any more? So it's really worth it.
Right.
It's worth every bit of it.
Amen.
So parents, we encourage you to go on with your children. And we encourage you to consider these principles in this outline.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Sorry, a few other things I came to say. And I forgot. Okay.
I thought you said you forget after 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Okay. One thing I want to say is that I was not growing up in a Christianity background. In my home, I'm the first one to believe in the Lord. But I have a very strict mother. And even at that time, she was not saved, but she was very strict with me. And then she taught me a lot of things. For instance, we had many servants. But then my mother told me and my sister, these servants are also human beings. You have to respect them. And don't give them a poor attitude. I still remember once I had a very bad attitude towards one of the servants. And then my mother forced me to apologize to him. And so we not only we need to bring our children to the Lord, and also concerning our characters, and also these things we need to teach our children from the very beginning. Okay. This is one thing. Now, the second thing is that in our generation, in our times, and all the sisters who had babies, they are all good friends. They all fellowship with each other. And not only here in New York, and also some other local churches are the same situation, which troubles us very much. That was, once you had the baby, it seems that that's the good reason for you stop coming to the meeting. That's terrible. That's Satan's lie. And so in our times, in our generations, when our wives had babies, and they all the sisters had babies, they all come together. They're good friends. They help each other. And so they take turn to come to the meeting and babysit. And to have a baby does not give you any reason stop coming to the meeting. Right. Now, this is thing all the mothers, all the young mothers need to know. So, because this happened in many places, and you could see that not only these sisters really lost a lot of spiritual things, and not only this mother lost so much, and then that also affected the children. So this is a thing that I want to make it very clear. And so this is one thing. Then another thing is you don't need to give them many terminologies, many spiritual words, but rather you need to give them some very basic things. And so I think all these, all the young mothers need to be very clear. Amen. And then another thing is my personal experience. I was born during the Second World War, and because the Japanese took all the seashore area, so we were in the inland China, and in inland China, in Sichuan, is surrounded by mountains, and so the Japanese could not attack there. So then we lived there, but the environment is very dirty, and so my father always taught me. They had a lot of bananas, and so my father always said, before you eat the bananas, you have to remove the tip of the banana, because there are a lot of flies and dirty things, and it landed it. So my father always said, remember, if before you eat the banana, you have to remove the tip of it. And then, after I came to the United States, so clean. And then same day, my wife said, how come you're still, when you eat banana, why you still take the tip off? Yeah, I realized that was my habit. So what I learned when I was 5 years old or 6 years old, I'm still doing the same thing today. That's why you can see that our young age can give us this kind of habit. So that's another thing I wanted to share with you. And then in order to help our children, and it's not only bring them to the Lord, and also help them to establish the good characters. And we should never tell lies, we should not be late, or we should not, all this is the parents, only the parents can do this. And so, and also that later when they grew up, if you have more children, you teach the oldest first, and let the older ones, and help the younger ones, and to bring in the houseworks. And so this, then they will have a good relationship. And in other words, in addition to bring them to the Lord, we also need to establish a good character in them. And never tell lies, and just like Brother Ed just mentioned. And then, and also then all the time teach them to establish good characters. This is also very important.
Let's have a little prayer first, and then maybe we have some fellowship. You have some testimonies or questions.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
For this precious fellowship.
Amen.
All we want to be those who aspire to inspire.
Amen.
All the children.
children.
Amen.
Make us the proper pattern.
Amen.
Oh, we care for them.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, raise them up in the church life.
Amen.
I pray you would have mercy on us.
Amen.
Sanctify ourselves first.
Amen.
Be the proper pattern for the children.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this fellowship.
Amen.
Bring us back to your standard.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that you put all these children among us in the church.
Amen.
Prepare to be proper patterns.
Amen.
We love you first.
Amen.
Sanctify our living.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, sanctify our living.
Amen.
Pray that we would live consecrated lives to you.
Amen.
Even for the sake of our children.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes,
Lord.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you.
Right.
Lord, consecrate our children to you.
Amen.
Lord, reproduce us as your as a pattern.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Remember our responsibility before you, Lord.
Amen.
All of these children actually belong to you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, cause us to be a pattern to them, Lord.
Amen.
A pattern of you.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, that they would grow up knowing you and loving you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for speaking to us.
Amen.
Thank you for speaking to us on your heart.
Amen.
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 favorite day.
Amen.
For all the children.
Amen.
Consecrate ourselves.
Amen.
By our brother's fellowship, particularly about our expectation of our children. And so my daughter is now a teenager now, so we sort of give up because when she was young, she listened, follows most of the command we ordered, but now sort of give up. Besides, she's busy. You know, she's all of early in the morning, before we get up, she's already up because she has to take subway to Manhattan. So it's more than an hour subway. And when she gets home, it's about 7 o'clock. So we have minimal interaction now. So, but what Brother James say this morning, I just remind me again, I myself have to be inspired, to inspire our children. And our expectation is also very important because we may say, well, let her do it. She's in good school. That's our current attitude. She's in good school. The school will educate. So, but we have to have expectation. Our expectation is to make them to see the vision we have seen.
Right.
And
right.
To expect them to experience what we have experienced.
Right.
So I think this just opened my eyes this morning. So I have to see this. I have to experience this.
Right.
But my seeing has to be instilled into my children.
Amen.
And my experience I expect her to have the same experience as she will have as we have. So,
yeah.
So this is why I got this point.
Amen.
Amen.
I just wanted to say amen to what all the brothers shared. Because when I was single, I always liked playing with kids. But they're not your kids. And after you play with them, they're so cute, and you just give them back. But now they're here all the time. and I realized it's not that easy being a parent. And it's so good to hear this word. Actually, it's good for single people to hear this word
Amen.
Before you have children.
Right.
And thankfully, my children are still young, so I still can learn a lot. And I realized that I'm so glad that the brothers mentioned about that the parents need to be a pattern first. Because you can say all sorts of things, right? But if they see you doing something else, that's what they pick up on, no matter what you said. And I remember I told one of my children not to use a certain word because it's not, actually it was like, oh man, because they use it in a bad word. I mean, it's not a curse, but it's used in a bad way. When something bad happens, they say, oh man, So I told them, it's not a curse, but it's not a high way of saying it.
Right.
It's kind of a low thing to say because man is really precious to the Lord. And when you say, oh man, because something bad happened, maybe you could say oh no. Because they picked it up from school. And then I said it. And they heard me say it. They just said, Mommy, you're not supposed to say it. So I realized, that's what they pick up on.
Sure.
Something you did.
Yeah.
So Lord Jesus, we really need to be sanctified.
Right.
That the Lord would work in us first.
Amen.
How could we tell our children to love the Lord? How can we actually expect them to love the Lord one day if when we get up, we're so busy doing things and we don't have time to read the Word, right? Then,
yeah.
Then what kind of impression does that give them?
Right.
So, Lord Jesus, so good to be recalibrated into the proper standard.
Yeah.
Because what they learn at school, what they hear in the world, all these different activities that parents might sign them up for, they don't aspire to the same things that we want
right.
for our children, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even now, I feel like, Lord, I don't want to just have them do this or that or do this, just have all these activities. You know, my kids are not in any after school activities, and I felt like, am I doing something wrong? You know, like, should they be signing up for all these things that other parents are doing? Say, some of them are like 5 days a week in kindergarten and up to 6 o'clock at night. And I said, you know, praise the Lord that I didn't sign them up. I'm glad that when they come home, I can learn, I can hear that what they did in school, and you know, get them kind of back to, if they did something in school or they heard something in school, at least I can correct it. So, and also from the perspective of a child, right? Now I'm a grown-up child, but you know, I have to thank the Lord that my parents made it very normal for us to come to the meetings. And you know, we were downstairs, I think, with Cheryl and with other kids, and I don't know. I don't want to tell everything that we were doing downstairs. But the parents were upstairs in the meeting, and they would keep us in the meetings up to a certain point, maybe after the singing time. Then we were allowed to go downstairs. We were playing like red light, green light, 1, 2, 3, and all these. You know, I remember. Anyway, but it was a sanctified play. I mean, some kids were naughty, but it was generally sanctified. But the point was that the parents came to the meetings, and we were there with them, and I. It was just very normal to come to the weekday meetings and Saturday mornings. If they were here, they would just take us with them. So, and you know, it's just this matter of training a child actually takes a lot of time and energy, because it's much easier for me to make all their beds in the morning. I can do it really fast than to tell them to come, and then we go like this. I'm like, okay. But I realized that actually little kids can be trained to do a lot of things early. They can sort forks and knives. And I didn't think, you know, I used to think, well, maybe when they're older, then I'll ask them to do things. But actually, when they're used to doing things when they're young, it's much easier to do when they're older.
Right.
And I've been learning this, that even a two-year-old can sort forks and knives. So, praise the Lord for this word, that we have saints among us who are patterns to the believers, and we can learn from them in raising our children for the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord for this word. I found it very helpful that we have to keep this balance of the spiritual side on the human side. A lot of times we deal with the children as we deal with a gospel friend. We suggest in a respectful and loving way certain things, and we forget that it's our children, so it's not the same. We have made them do what they have to do.
Amen.
There's nobody else in this world that's going to do that job but the parents.
Right.
And we're there to do it. If we just kneel and pray, that's great. Nobody's going to do it. We have to do it. I work as a teacher, and we deal with really naughty children, and it's obvious that that kind of dynamics are not happening at home. And it's not my job to do it at school. Eventually, it's the police probably who's gonna do something. So, in the church life, yes, we have to pray, we have to give ourselves to the Lord, and oh, how much we need the Lord's grace that we will be the proper parents for our children. But we cannot forget the human side. We have to tell them what to do and make them do it, and they'll learn. And I was just so impressed by the testimony of our brother Benjamin. I didn't know he grew up in a family that was not Christian, that he was the first Christian in the family. Yet, the lessons that he learned from his mother brought him up in a way that was used later on for the Lord. So if we are very spiritual, but we do not take care of this part in our children, they may not be that useful later on.
Amen.
May the Lord give us the proper balance.
Amen.
Amen.
I was wondering if what a couple without child can prepare, can do for a couple without child.
First.
Well, I don't know if I can answer it as well as some of the folks can do, but
came into the church life and saw the families, that was a real inspiration to me. I was still single, actually. And I prayed a lot, Lord, I want to have this kind of family life. There was the, you know, when you went to their homes and had lunch with them and enjoying the Lord and talking about the Lord. They just have a normal family life, taking care of the small kids. And, you know. So I think this point about, first of all, we have to sanctify ourselves. You don't have to wait till you have kids to sanctify yourself. You need to sanctify ourselves now. What if you never have kids and then, you know, you still have to be sanctified, right? So, you know, I think the principles, even in the outline, still are helpful. We won't have the children necessarily. But, you know, one thing that struck me in our fellowship is that it is my responsibility to raise my children, but I also need you to help raise my children. We're in the church life. We're not here raising our kids in one sense alone. Now, we're not shirking our responsibility, like, so I'm going to give my kids to the church, you take care of their spiritual life, and then I'll make sure they get to Harvard. It's not, you know, separation of family and church and state, you know, not like that. But I think the brothers did mention this, you know, the sisters need each other, you know, they really need each other in helping with the kids. And when our kids were really small, I mean, we had the same, we had a family, which, you know, I don't want to mention names, but we had a family with kids about their age in Brooklyn. They just would get on the train with the kids and come to our place in Manhattan, and, you know, the sisters would have a little time to pray, and then they would take the kids to the park, or, you know, there was a lot of interaction with the different families, and my wife would take the kids, you know, there would be a lot of interaction. We are in four districts, but the subway ride isn't that far. It's not that bad. You can make it, you know. This city actually is kind of close. So my point is that, you know, we really need one another. You know? And even, you know, the way you interact, my kids are a little older now, so, but anyway, the way you interact with the other children, even not your children, can help them. Just by the way you live and the way you, you know, you help them. We really need the body to help care. We need the body for our own supply, and we need the body to help, you know, with the kids. Then the kids are growing up in a sanctified environment.
Amen.
Not just that our home is sanctified, but the whole environment is sanctified. Your home is sanctified. So, anyway, I don't know if this helps.
Amen.
I think a very important point is don't be presumptuous. If you understand what I mean. Because when a couple without children, you look around, you almost find no ideal perfect situation.
Right.
And you have a better idea as how each family should raise every child. That's presumption.
Yeah.
Not until you have your own children. Even though I did not have, but I have many years of observation for this. And I think any parent who expects to have children or who wants to have children must have this kind of an attitude and prayer, ask the Lord to give you enough grace to be able to bring up the kind of child God has given to you. You have to see this is absolutely God's sovereignty.
Right.
Not only the timing, well, all the DNAs. Well, you think, you hope you will have a child that has all the best DNAs from you and your wife. It doesn't happen all the time. And so therefore, don't be presumptuous. Okay? I think it is very important. And that's another point, let me suggest that you have to ask the Lord to give you enough grace that you will not have blind spots for your children. Almost, I have, I think, very few exceptions. Any parent do not have blind spots of their children. They see very objectively about every other child, everybody else's children, except their own. So therefore, if you have blind spots, you cannot help them. Okay, so therefore, I think, don't be presumptuous and ask for grace. Which means that God will make you ready to have the children,
right.
Or how many, when the time comes.
Amen.
Okay. So, pray a lot.
It just so happens my wife and I don't know if we just subconsciously came up with the conversation because we were coming to this time, but we're talking about what our aspirations were for our children. And I watched Manee said we need to help our children with the proper aspirations for their human life. And anyway, and I articulated what mine were, and when I articulated them, I realized, oh, that's not very good. but I was just so touched by what Brother James said. I think I got it right. Inspire them to experience what we are experiencing and committing ourselves to the vision we have seen. Amen. I was so touched by that. One of the other things Brother Nee said was that I don't remember the exact words, but something to the effect that if we heap praises upon them, it will build up their pride too much, and that's not good. Mm-hmm. You know, and you consider our church life, what the vision we have seen is the vision of the body of Christ. And even this point itself, that helping them not to be overly proud. If they're overly proud, how can they be built up with the other brothers and sisters?
That's right.
But anyway, appreciate this point a lot, that they would enter into what we've entered into.
Amen.
Commit themselves to what we've committed ourselves to.
Amen.
Yeah, I really appreciate this fellowship, and I really appreciate this connection. We are children of God, and we never be prepared to be a father, but day by day, you know, we enjoy the Lord, and that we are disciplined, and that we're going to enjoy the Lord. And the way that we enjoy the Lord try our character. And then the children never forget the what they see, and that they see us. And this is that was very enjoying, that day by day, we need to enjoy the Lord, and be living the normal way with the children. Never be prepared. We always waiting and join the Lord in the same way and in our children.
Amen.
But I appreciated Brother James sharing the story about D.L. Moody. I wasn't aware of that experience that he had. My spouse and I were listening to a history radio broadcast sometime. We got, you know, the disc. And they were talking about D.L. Moody as a young man. He was pretty naughty. He was so naughty that our jaw was like this when we heard his stories. So don't be discouraged if you encounter a naughty one. Your own or somebody else's. The Lord could turn him into a D.L. Moody. But it was just his reaction that he wanted to kick them all out, you know. I think if you serve with the young ones, sometimes you might have that experience, that reaction. But so that was something. And also concerning this matter of being sanctified ourselves, and the matter of sowing, that everything is a sowing.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the one hand, like Brother Dennis said, we have to be sanctified. It's right. And, you know, those, once the baby's born, the tape is rolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at some point they start to remember what they're seeing. But for sure, even the atmosphere that we have in our home is a sowing all the time. So like the brother said, you know, you have to love, it's so good, the spouses have to love each
right,
other. You know, what does that mean? That means we have to take the cross, right?
Right.
Actually, probably the reason my wife and I might not love each other as much is because I'm not taking the cross. And that
right.
unpleasant side comes out,
right.
and vice versa. So there's the need to experience
yeah.
the cross. This drives us to the experience of the Lord.
Yeah.
But even this, that, you know, sometimes we are sowing and we don't realize it's a sowing. Like if we give a toy or if someone gives us something to give to our kids or even the books that we get them, all of these things will sow and sow and sow and sow. And sometimes we don't think that way. You know, we just think, oh, this is a whatever. But actually it continues to sow and then there's a reaping from that sowing. And even Michelle and I were on our way over here this morning and we were listening to these CDs of these radio broadcasts that we like. And so we purchased them. And what happened is this radio broadcast was over like 30 years. It's a Christian broadcast. And we were noticing how much the nature of the broadcast had changed over time. And even they tried to adapt to kind of the worldly scene. So the kids who talk in the radio thing talk very differently in 1999 than they did in 1979. And we were like, just turn it off.
you know, because that's a sowing to the children listening, and now they're going to start talking back to us the way they hear the radio kids talking back to their parents, and we just realize that's a sowing. We just got to turn it off, even though there was something good there, but then there's also something not so good there. So we just have to be exercised, have discernment, and try to provide the atmosphere and the sowing that, you know, that the Lord can bless.
Amen.
I want to share the Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. I think that's in the outline. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows unto his own flesh will reap corruption of the flesh. But he who sows unto the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. So I'm very much encouraged by the brothers sharing. It reminded us that the meaning of life is not to pursue material pleasure. We need to seek the truth and full knowledge of God so we can receive the eternal life. So that's my expectation for myself and my kids. I also want to share a little bit that the brother was asking how to be prepared if you want to have children. In my case, my husband and I, we come to New York to study, we wasn't sure for a long time we would be ready to have children. So we had, but we were very blessed. We received the Lord after our graduate school education. So we had a fellowship with the brother and sister, of course, the elder one. They so nurtured us. So we had fellowship. We said we were here by our own, with worry about all the legal status, and we didn't have a lot of money. How should we deal with this? And they all tell us, you know, just come to Lord. He will have all you need, the mercy, the grace. So we're very fortunate. We land a job, and then we make decent money. Then we prayed a lot to make sure we were ready. So I think things happen. Then our first child arrived. We named her Grace. Then our second child also surprisingly arrived. We named her Joy. Because we feel it's really Lord's mercy. Yes. We don't think we really deserve it. We feel we were so short, so weak, but Lord really listened to the prayers. A lot of older brothers and sisters pray for us. They know we have a heart for Lord, even though we were not the strongest or the smartest one in the room. But I think all those years, I think our faith in Lord has strengthened through all the ups and downs. And nowadays, my girls, they sometimes they reminded the parents, like me and my husband, don't miss the church meeting, don't come in late. And they sometimes they really kind of watch over us to make sure to make sure we don't fall. So I really encourage any young brothers and sisters, whatever you want, you know, we need to pray, we need to come to the Lord.
Amen.
Even though sometimes we feel we're full of things, full of crazy ideas, or being influenced by the world, full of evil and dust, alas, Lord, his words will clean us.
Amen.
And his, I think he will really lead us to pursue this eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I used to consider like the Lord knows what kind of children I need. And I feel like this is the truth. But lately I've been realizing that the Lord knows what kind of mother my children need, or father, you know, the parents. In my dealing with Jeremiah especially, like he's very pleasant to work with. I can't deny that. But there are moments, like children have, he can become very naughty. So I'll just give this quick example. He had promised to finish his homework, and I do believe he genuinely forgot a couple of subjects. So we were up late, and I had a feeling like, Lord, is this too much? You kind of don't want to give in to them in a sense where it would damage them later on. So oftentimes in my discipline, with in particular my son, sometimes feel like I'm too much. But then I would always turn to the Lord, and the Lord would always encourage me 90% of the time. It's what he needed to hear, you know, be at peace, you know. He needed that. So I just find like this matter of discipline has this kind of like fine line, because I don't want to discipline in myself. At the same time, he still needs discipline, you know. And so I find like this one morning in the book, in the story of Moses, when Brother Ed Marks came a few years ago, and he shared how Moses misrepresented, you know, the children of Israel. He was you know, consequently not able to go into the good land. So I always remember this story. And on the other hand, I always remember this other story Brother Benjamin shared about this man who was on death row, and he was about to be executed. And he wanted a request, so he asked to speak to his mother. I don't know if everybody heard about this, but, you know, so he, I don't know if I got this accurate, but I got the point. That's the main thing. He actually bit off his mother's nose or ear. Yeah, and I'm like, because he said, you didn't discipline me, that's why I'm here. So I take these two extremes, you know, and I try to, like, just pray to the Lord, you know, because the discipline is so necessary. And on the one hand, I think like Brother Ed said, or Brother Benjamin, you know, they need to understand why they're being disciplined. Because I've had times where my son would only remember what happened. You know, maybe he got a spanking or something. I don't remember the spanking. What was it for? I don't know. You know? But it's like so important, because I think there was a key here that said that we need to build up their conscience. And I was wondering, how do you practically build up the conscience? And I believe it's through the discipline. They need to understand. We have to help them to understand by the Lord's mercy and grace what is acceptable. What, you know, this is not acceptable. Because I enjoy that, you know, on the one hand, they need the proper character. And on the other hand, you know, they need to grow up to love the Lord, the Word, and the church. But I just wanted to say this one last thing, and I'm guilty of this. Like, on the human side, the proper character sounds wonderful. On the spiritual side, I used to be very spiritual. And it's already done. I need your prayers. I know I did this, you know, time and time again. Like, just over, you know, getting into maybe detail of what something means spiritually. And I'm learning now, I'm more sensitive. I'm like, just stop. You can give the story, but not to give the interpretation, you know, or not to, you know, go beyond what their capacity is. Because, like Brother Ed said, then they get bored, or they get, oh, I heard this already. I'm not there. My kids are still relatively young, but I'm thankful to the Lord for the times like this to be reminded not to be too much. Because I mean, sometimes I just enjoy, and I want to share. And I'm like, my kids are here, but I want to share with you guys who are enjoying. But anyway, but I'll just share this one last thing. One thing that I do, that I've been doing regularly, I've been coming to the Friday night meetings, and I've been enjoying. So my kids sometimes will get a little upset that they're coming, but I tell them, I cook for you, I clean for you, I bring you places, you're bringing me to the meeting. We're going to the meeting, you're going to bring mommy there to make me a better mommy for you. So they take it like 9 out of 10 times. But there will be that one time where they get a little antsy. But I just wanted to share, you know, the Friday night meetings are here. They're going on. And I was very burdened for like other parents and mothers to come. Maybe we could do something with the kids at that period of time. I'm just throwing it out there, you know, give it to the Lord. But they're enjoyable. It's a meeting of the church, you know. We need more younger people, you know. It's enjoyable. It's a great way to get the life supply and to give your portion. And the kids also, if they come, they could also benefit being together, you know. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, after Steve, maybe we can have some prayers. And
my kids are all grown, so kind of thinking of what this is like. For me, this is sort of like going back to school and sitting in that class that I didn't get an A in. What I was touched by is what Brother James said, aspire to inspire. When I went to school, I had many professors, but the two that stand out the most in my mind was one that was an accounting professor, and then there was a statistics professor. And these guys were terrible. Face would light up, and the accounting professor, he would really teach from the book. He would create his own transparencies and his own material, and it was more in depth than the textbook. And the statistics professor, his face would light up when he would tell us the stories of what he did. Okay, so my point is, if we need to inspire our kids, and Brother James made the point about if you don't inspire them, then might have to resort to bribing to get them to do what you want them to do. But if you genuinely enjoy the Lord and it's real to you and the church life is real to you and it really is the meaning of your life, and when the little things come, you really do talk to the Lord and obey the Lord, even when it costs you, then that will make a deep impression on your kids, much more than anything that you can say to them. Amen. Praise the Lord for such fellowship.
Amen.
We have such treasures in the church. Amen. Such ones that have been in the Lord for so many years. Amen. And I'm just thankful for this opportunity that we can hear. year.
Amen.
Before we do that, before we pray, I want to underline something which you said, and I think it's extremely important, because I don't know whether I have another chance to tell you about this. That is the vision we have been speaking about all these years are very practical. And, you know, we always talk about God's purpose. And I like this, well, maybe because of my situation, I like this about David mentioned in the book of Acts. David served his generation according to God's counsel, and then he slept. And that was the summary of his life. And I thought that should be the aspiration of every Christian, particularly those who know God's purpose. You know, we have spoken so much about Genesis 1:26, about image and dominion. Actually, this is what we have this week, to express God and to represent Him. And actually, what does it mean to serve this generation according to God's purpose? That is why I use that expression, that our existence makes a difference. In other words, we spend so many years, the parents spend so much effort trying to bring up a child, and the serving ones pour themselves out to serve. And did it make a difference? Did it make a difference? And so then you say, how can you tell whether the difference, it did make a difference? I think it all starts with the everyday situation. I like to use that example that, do you leave a place? Do you leave a place, a better place, than you find it? If we all leave the place that we find it every day and in every situation, the accumulation of that in our life will make the difference. And that can start from the homes. And that's where the parents' example comes in. If the parents leave the place a mess, worse than they find it, how can you expect the children to do that? And if the children leave the place a mess, you're making excuses and not try to help your child to correct. How do you expect in the long run it will make a difference? This, of course, all comes to this point about being self-centered. You know, I'm afraid our younger generation, well, because in the development of the human life, I've mentioned this many times, that the self is always being pampered because children need to be taken care of and so on. At some point, the children need to grow up in this growing up process to be enlarged from the self-centeredness into a much bigger view. And that is what it means when you want to find a place, a better place than you, and you want to leave the place you find a better place than you find it, because there are those who will come after you do.
Amen.
I think it is this kind of view that the parents must help to infuse into our children in your family life. And with this kind of a view of aspiration to bring them into the children's meeting, the church life, so that they can live a life that really serves God's purpose. And I think this is really wonderful, because all the truth that's included in the vision that we talked about is a very inclusive and very, I don't want to use the word practical, I want to say can be practiced. You know, to be practical, it may be practical, but you don't practice it. This, I hope, is the aspiration of all the parents. This is the view of all the serving ones to infuse into our children.
Thank you, Lord.
Word that we heard today.
Amen.
Lord, that your word comes to supply.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. guide us to be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word.
Amen.
Oh, we give our children to you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, they are gifts from you.
Amen.
Oh, we want to be faithful stewards.
Amen.
We take care of what you've given us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, she's there.